Welcome to Party of Four with David Denine Porter. On Party of Four, before the game begins, each player receives an envelope in which is a sort of get-out-of-jail-free card they can use whenever they're in serious danger. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Party of Four, the podcast in which comedians and improvisers try to get along for the first time. We're going to be doing a wonderful adventure today with some wonderful people on my side that doesn't matter left or right. Ian Carmel. Ian.
Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going very well. I'm happy to be here.
Rebecca Johnson is over there.
Ooh. Hi, that's me. My name's really Becky. Hello.
Dead silence.
Just a fact, not a joke, just a fact.
And across from Becky, we have love of my life, Kyle Dooley.
Hi, David.
One of my teachers at the Bad Dog School, which you can take classes to learn to make a podcast. That's like this.
Curious time for a plug, but yeah, sure, why not?
And next to him, we have none other than Carla Ranowski. Just kidding. It's Kayla Lorette, the other half of the Sufferettes with Becky. Kayla, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you, David.
Oh.
Is that too quiet?
No, you'll be fine.
Okay, I'll know to be better for you.
You may just want
to
stay.
Know to be better.
Right. Let's all agree to be better.
Let's all agree to turn another cheek. A third cheek.
A better cheek.
Better cheek.
A thinner cheek right down the middle.
I already have four cheeks to begin with.
And she says, looking down.
Checking. Just checking.
Front cheek still
these
there.
These aren't cheeks. All right, guys. this is a role-playing game. And as such, each of the players here will be representing their home hoods, neighborhoods, by portraying a character which will be going on the adventure. So let's introduce ourselves to the characters. Ian, what do you got for us today?
I'm playing Don Christmas, Beaverton, Oregon's premier classical and Shakespearean actor.
Oh, yeah.
Beaverton.
Yes, Beaverton, please. Oregon.
I've been to the Chapters there.
I don't even know what the Chapters is.
Maybe it wasn't a Chapters. Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble. Yeah. That sounds more right. Yeah. Barnes & Noble for sure. I've been to that Barnes & Noble. And so is Don Christmas, Beaverton, Oregon's premier classical and Shakespearean actor.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great. Do you have any special skills or weaknesses that we should be aware of?
Weaknesses? Toblerone. scarves, which is also a strength.
Oh.
Scarves is both a strength and a weakness.
Oh.
Other strengths, diction.
Diction.
Diction. Girth.
In what sense?
Just a girthy man.
He's a okay. Wide guy.
Just a wide guy. Just a girthy man. And then another weakness, the clarinet.
Isn't that like
interesting?
I should remember these myself.
Yeah, you really should write them down because these are very funny and you'll be tested on them later. All right, Becky, what's your scoop?
My character's name is Harf Niedermeyer. She is a professional large game angler and adventure woman. Her strengths include tracking, hunting, skinning. She has a very good sense of smell. She's excellent at plant identification, should that come up. Mm-hmm. Weaknesses, has a tendency to get wrapped up in her outdoors activities and revert to a more feral form. And constant hunger. She's always hungry.
Great.
I can identify with that.
Yeah, so she's hungry. She goes wild sometimes.
Mm. Kyle, what's your scoop?
I think I didn't think of a name, but I was going to go with Tarb, but if you're going to be Harf.
I love it.
Tarb and Harf.
All right. Yeah, you know what? We will go back to it. Yeah, I'll be Tarb.
A bouffant duo.
Tarb. I'm a goblin shoemaker.
Oh.
I make my way making shoes for nobles.
I guess you could say a goblin cobbler.
Yeah, goblin cobbler. Gabby Gabby. And my weaknesses are like I'm very physically hard to look at.
Oh yeah. And you have a bad smell.
I'm criminally ugly and I smell kind of bad. Yeah. my strengths are probably Let's say my charm.
And, how paradoxical.
Yeah, totally. And you know, we'll just go with just like general physical. Let's say I can jump really high. Like I'm a great jumper. Okay. Like I've got good like goblin hindquarters.
Probably connected.
Yeah. So if anybody
probably
needs
connected to the charm.
Yeah, totally. People see me dunk a basketball.
Oh, that's very charming.
Look at him.
I can only look at the legs while he dunks. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's more than enough.
Yeah, that's more
that's
than
great.
Enough.
Tarb.
Tarb.
What a stinky tarb. Sweetie.
Kayla Lorette,
yeah,
okay. Toronto improviser,
my
recent
character.
Victor at the Canadian Comedy Awards for her portrayal of Slime Man. What's his name again? Orson Ooze.
No, that's not.
You didn't win for Orson
Ooze? The wrong year.
What? Oh, it doesn't matter.
Very talented.
We'll edit this out because I didn't know what I was talking about.
We'll just edit it and just record a thing later where you know exactly what it is.
I think I'll probably just put in some Rage Against the Machine instead.
Damn it.
Go away now!
That's much better.
Congratulations.
All right.
Okay. My character for this episode is going to be Rybnik. The Pond Witch.
Rybnik?
Yeah.
I love
Rybnik
that.
Is pond in Slovenian.
Nice.
Strengths. She draws her strength from still water. And she's good at basic water spells, instant ice, trick reflections from the water.
Nice.
And she can give anyone diphtheria from the water they drink. Oh, and she can harness mosquitoes. And
oh, wow.
her weaknesses, she gets weaker around rivers, oceans, flowing water.
Oh,
I love this.
She wasn't socialized properly, and she has a gross mouth and fingers.
Gross mouth and fingers.
And poorly socialized.
I'm very excited to find out how poor socialization plays into what I've planned to be a series of social gatherings, balls, fetes, that sort of thing. Just see how you fail to dance properly.
Sorry, can I ask, what was that thing? She could like control water if still water is around? Like she can make ice?
She can make instant ice out of still water and trick reflections.
What's trick reflections?
You know, you're looking in, you know, dog has the bone and he looks in the water and he goes for it, but she can make the reflection.
You know.
She can make anything appear in still
water?
Yeah.
If you're looking at yourself and you
Wait,
go,
you've heard of this too?
Oh, I just thought it was
you just put two and two together. You look in the water, you see Denzel Washington looking back.
And you're like, I'll kiss Denzel Washington.
Am I Denzel? Have I been him the whole time?
Have I become? What?
Have I finally become Denzel Washington?
I do remember shooting Glory.
Yeah.
I thought it was a dream.
Harf can never figure anything out. Can we add that to my character? Because I think it's happening to me personally right now.
Hard time.
Yeah.
General
can I just
hard
put
time.
Trubs?
Trubs.
Yeah, having some Trubs.
I nearly wrote Trubs.
Now the adventure sting goes in now.
The adventure begins.
The four of you wake up in the middle of a field just outside the town of Crandor, which is a familiar locale if you've listened to the podcast in the past. It is exactly 6 a.m., and you can tell because this is the solstice of summer, or the equinox of the spring, that's more like it, and the sun is exactly rising. So you're all very excited that it's time for solstice day on the equinox, the most confused 2 days of the year in Crandor. In the distance, you hear birds chirping. You see a bunch of young maids getting up at sunup to gather water and flowers so that they don't get abused by their terrible husbands. Oh. Don't make that face. This is Crandor. Shit goes down.
Harp is having allergies.
Harp is having... For a wild woman that goes feral, can't handle the flowers.
Something's happening. Maybe it's the solstice.
In the town wakes up and you hear lots of fun noise and gaiety. Commence.
Guys, let's go into the town.
Why would we go into town? We got all this Crandor corn here. It's a cornfield. I might just hang out and gobble.
I would love to go into town. I'm not eating corn right now.
Oh, Classic Don.
I'm full of corn. I want to eat something better, like a boar's meat or a moose.
Harf, always screaming for more game.
I'm so hungry, I can't just be a vegetarian.
I just go into town. I think that if we all do it, bring the corn along. Here, I'll carry it in my hand.
Rivnik, you're not going to embarrass us in front of the townspeople again, are you?
Of course not. No, I love a festival.
We probably should go into town. I forgot what voice I did. Yeah.
Just keep going.
We should go into town because there's a chance someone will recognize me there, and then we could trade that for some sort of goods or services that aren't corn.
Yeah. In the distance, some sandwiches.
In the distance, you hear someone say, "What? No Shakespearean actors slated for today's Equinox Festival?"
I can't be the only one who heard that.
No, we all heard it. We heard it.
I heard it, yeah.
Well, they can't have an Equinox Festival to have a fine-trained Shakespearean actor. I say we go into town and see if I fit the bill. I will.
Let's do it.
Very well. Tarp. I will compromise. Rivnik, carry my 4 husks of corn in your burlap satchel, please.
Oh, God, yeah, let me open it.
Tarp, would you mind walking downwind to the rest of us?
Fair is fair.
You can walk with me, Tarp.
Oh, thanks, Rivnik. You're looking lovely today, might I add.
Thank you.
I haven't seen a more pitiful pair than the 2 people who tried out below me for Iago.
The
Beaverton production.
They tried it below you?
Of the Merchant of Venice.
The 2 people I was standing on while I auditioned. You approach the town, and as you approach the town, you see that its wooden gate is wide open. A welcoming sight for a festival day. On either side of the gate, there are 2 men with pole axes, just a staring out at the wilderness, looking for people to come in and so they can welcome them. They welcome the 3 humans in the group, or human-likes in the group. But as soon as they see the goblin, they immediately cross their pikes and say, "No entry. No entry for the green one."
No entry? Come on, guys.
Tarp is with us. He is with us, and he'll continue to be with us. I have his corn in my sack.
Well, just because he's with you doesn't mean we have to let him in, or you, for that matter.
What? Why?
Now, guys.
Because we have weapons and armor. We're here clearly to block bad things. He's a stinker. Look at him.
Well, we have a Shakespearean actor.
Hello.
You do?
That's right.
It's been 80 years since we've seen a strong Shakespearean actor of any girth.
Well, I'm one of the girthiest Shakespearean actors ever to grace the boards.
The boards? You've seen the boards?
I've seen the boards, I've seen planks, and for that matter, I've stood atop a barrel.
Planks? He knows of the old ways, the ways when wood was cut. Before the log times. Planks, barrels, boards. Come, you must be brought to the Burgomeister's house.
I will not set foot in front of the Burgomeister unless this cobbling goblin comes along with.
Wait, did you say cobbling goblin?
He's indeed a cobbling goblin.
You just said the secret passphrase. We have only rhyming phrases in Grandor, and every rhyme is a password to some place you'll have to get into. Oh, come, Coblin Goblin. Teehee, I can't believe I just said it.
Very well. But just for future reference, I could have leapt over the walls. Boing.
After saying boing to indicate your ability to jump, the 2 of them look at each other and nod. Yes, I bet he could have jumped. A very convincing boing. They separate their spears and allow you to pass between them.
Such hustle and bustle in this town.
I want to find a butcher shop.
Easy.
Easy? Settle down.
I'm so hungry. I'm so full of corn. It's not doing it for me.
Well, what should we do first? Get Don's headshots printed off? Gather meat? Or perhaps, I don't know, I could dance here?
Rivnik, this is no place to dance. You
it's
dance
a
at a dance, not in the...
It's a solstice.
A bunch of Guidos surround Rivnik with their shirts open to the navel.
Tarp, your ale's getting they're on the holding, pop filter.
They're my holding bad. Coronas in their hands as they start bobbing their heads to music that only they can hear.
My, they're touching, they're getting closer. I again.
Suddenly, you hear the music that none of your friends can hear. It is No Mercy's Where Do You Go?
Wow! Where are you going? My lovely. Oh, it's so good. It's so nice. I'll kiss this one. And this one.
Yo, thanks.
Oh, go on without me. Ribnik's got something to do.
Yo, you single?
Absolutely.
Are you single, said the next one?
Unless I've made a deal with him.
Quiet, is she single?
Well, still, I'm not.
Are you
clear.
Single?
Yes.
They start repeating it at the same time. Are you single? What? Are you single? They close in around you, their bodies pressing even closer. Their arms begin to merge into one another to create a flesh ring around you.
I've seen this before.
The Guido flesh ring of Kaldor.
This occurred around me after a production of... Again, The Merchant of Venice.
It's a great play. It's a great play.
Very funny comedy.
Now's no time for your anecdotes, Don. We gotta save Rivnik.
Help me, please. The skin it touches all over me.
Why don't you touch it with your disgusting fingers and see what happens?
I'm trying.
No, the Guidos don't care about disgusting fingers. There's nothing on those fingers that's not more disgusting than the blood that pumps through their thick Sicilian veins.
I could leap into the circle, but then I'd be in the same state.
What, we need to take advantage of the coronas they're holding and create a pool of standing water.
Great work, Dan.
All right. I'll deliver a soliloquy since you're asking me to. So jaw-dropping and astonishing that they have no choice but to drop their beverages. I remember autumn. That cursed year. The crow flew underneath and betwixt me. And afterwards I latched myself upon its winged feather. It carried me further, farther, hither, harther, and straight into the mouth of the beast, my father.
Oh. It's working, it's working.
The coronas become incredibly still. All carbonation in the coronas vanishes.
Good. Still water, this is something I know about, I guess. Watch this. I'm going to turn the coronas into a mosquito nest.
Oh, God, they love me.
The flesh ring gets closer and closer. However, a bunch of mosquito newts hatch into full mosquitoes, flying out of the coronas and directly into the mouths of the Guidos until they are no longer able to repeat the phrase, "Are you single?" Once they can no longer say their incantation, they dissolve into frogs.
Oh, good. This is dealt with. Wow, what a wild time at the solstice so far. And it's only 6:45.
Listen, Ribnik, I've told you about flirting with men. You're so poorly socialized. You can't just dance around in a town square on the solstice. You're inviting disaster.
Well, I can't tell the difference between positive attention and negative attention.
They were handsome Guidos.
I'll agree with that.
Hold on.
Tarp, you're covered in mosquitoes. Watch out. You're going to get diphtheria.
I kind of enjoy it.
You hear the shofar blown at the other end of town. Or just a general ram's horn. It doesn't necessarily have to be a religious ram's horn.
Passover falls on the solstice this year.
Yeah.
And Rosh Hashanah.
All at once. Every Jewish holiday happens all at once every 10,000 years.
Really?
All the calendars
Purim?
Sync up.
Simchat Torah?
All of them.
Sukkot?
So anyway, you hear a ram's horn blown at the other end of town, and then you hear someone cry out, "The Burgomeister's been just beaten up in a bad way, negatively."
Weren't you supposed to meet with him?
I was supposed to meet the Burgomeister, and your Italian dancing ways have delayed us in such a way that perhaps I won't be able to deliver a performance.
I'm sorry, Don.
You're at the top of my poop list.
Oh, not again.
Who else is on the poop list?
The names are presently on my poop list are Irving Christmas, my brother, for giving me a sweater two sizes too small at Christmas.
You should know about your girth.
My girth is one of my hallmarks.
Yes.
Also on my poop list. The good people at Subway who informed me that I would lose weight if I ate their sandwiches. I ate their sandwiches. My girth currently withstands. Also on my poop list, James Joyce. He knows why.
Wonderful. You hear, you see people rush past you all around, all talking to each other. Did you hear? Did you hear? The Burgomeister got punched on the neck.
The Burgomeister was punched on the neck.
Oh my god, the Burgomeister was punched on the neck.
It's the end of days. The end of days. If a bruise were to raise on the Burgomeister's neck, it would call down Chandaria from the clouds.
That is just a legend.
Let's go find this Burgomeister. I can get you there. I can smell my way towards a bruising man.
Roll? Let's bring the role-playing into it.
I got a 6.
Oh, you successfully smell blood pooling under the skin of a man.
Hematoma to the southeast.
Quick. Mm. Let's go. Come on, get on my back, Tob.
Oh, thanks, Revnik. My huge legs were getting tired from the earlier jumps.
It's right this way. Look, another door.
In the middle of town.
Quick, quick, somebody rhyme something.
Mm-hmm. Earlier today, I thought about a cupcake. Then I thought about my thighs, and it turned out to be a mistake.
Oh. Yes. You hear the door half unlock.
Slant rhyme. It only unlocked the door. It didn't open it.
Frog bog.
Done. The door unlocks all the way. It opens on its own accord. But as it does, the groaning of the old wood sounds something like this.
Don't go through me, dudes.
It sounds like some sort of dude has enchanted the door and doesn't want us to make contact with the Burgomeister.
Wait, why are you assuming that it's a dude? It called us dudes. It didn't say what it was.
It's casual language. I feel like we learned that from the Corona brothers.
Well, I just feel like people say dude if they're already a dude. Am I wrong?
I say dude, and I'm not a dude.
Well, you're kind of a dude.
You're a bit of a dude.
I'm not a dude.
You've been talking about burgers nonstop, okay? You're a bit of a dude. That's a dude thing.
Ladies can eat burgers.
Well, sandwiches. I'm just saying. A burger's a sandwich.
You know what?
Talking about sandwiches.
I would settle for a French dip.
One of the grand traditions of Shakespearea is that ladies often play dudes. Dudes often play ladies. There's no condition that says a lady can't be a dude or vice versa.
Burgomeister's literally swelling by the minute. And we're sitting here splitting hairs over who says dude.
All right, let's go.
Townsfolk walking behind her are like, oh my god, those idiots are too scared to go through that stupid door that sounds like it's talking. Jeez, what idiots.
Fucking beat the shit out of those people.
No, don't do it, Top. It's fine.
No, I'm getting hot.
No, I know. It's fine. Listen, just use your huge legs to walk through this door. I think we're brave enough.
Roll.
Very well. I got a 1.
Oh, I got an 8. That is just a critical defeat for you.
Oh, no.
Your huge legs are too huge to get through the door, and they shall always be too huge to get through the door. In fact, so strong are they that they rip free of your body as you try to walk through the door.
Oh, God. I've lost my quads.
Goodness, your blood smells worse on the outside of you.
I can't help it. I've lost the one thing I identify myself with.
Oh, yes, your charming legs.
Boing. I can't even do that anymore.
Plus, you can't even wear your own shoes anymore.
It's fine. Listen, Top, maybe if we find the Burgomeister, he'll let you have new legs.
Yeah, right.
They can build you legs out of their sound horns or perhaps some kind of gold or crowns.
Well, fingers crossed, I guess.
Here, get in my sack. You can nibble on the corn that's there.
Oh, what a treat. Oh, Rivnik, you're a sweetheart.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So you guys head through the door and you're inside the town's main hall. At the far end of the hall is a table on which lays the Burgomeister's body. On the side of his neck, clearly red from a punch, is a growing bruise. All around him, men garbed in white with long beards are rubbing his body with olive oil. each then they kiss their hands and rub more on. I don't know. He's fading. The Burgomeister begins actually fading out of existence. He has only a few seconds left. Oh, if only one could get here within a few seconds with some capacity to help. But we are old men. We have no such friends as those. We have been abandoned by the young to rub our oils. They prefer canola, but olive is the true oil.
Hello.
Oh, people, help us.
Hi, guys. Sorry, we were watching you for a while. I just didn't want to interrupt.
Well, that makes sense.
What do you need? Shakespeare smells?
Shakespeare smells? Smells from the days of Shakespeare? You have them preserved? Quiet, it's impossible.
Well, actually... When I was running dramaturge on a production of The Merchant of Venice, I catalogued several of the smells that would have been present during not only the time of The Merchant of Venice, but also the odours that would have wafted across the stage at Shakespeare's Globe Theatre.
Oh, Shakespeare's Globe Theatre. The legend must be true. There was once a theatre in the shape of a globe in which men were suspended by rubber strings. Is this the Globe Theatre you speak of?
The vouchsame, yes. The very same theatre.
Great! Let's get some smells.
All right, I'll go down the list of smells.
You can't just say them. We have to smell them.
Oh. Don, do you have any of the smells on you? What about here in your scarf?
Well, wrapped up in my scarf, I do have a small clutch of cedar, and that was one of the primary smells of the Globe Theatre.
Cedar? From the age when wood was cut?
Yes.
You remember the old ways.
From the age of plank.
Planks and boards. He is truly the chosen one. Let him taste the oils from our fingertips. They put their fingers in your mouth without asking.
Wonderful, thank you.
Okay, let's have that cedar.
All right, here you are, but only a small amount, only a small amount.
Roll.
Five.
Oh, no. It is not cedar. You have been cheated when you purchased this thing, which was supposed to be from Shakespeare's Globe Theater. It is actually none other than particle board from a condemned Walmart. The furthest thing away from cedar, from the rich, aromatic Middle Eastern tree. They rub the particle board underneath the Burgomeister's nose, and the Burgomeister's legs vanish.
Oh my God, we have so much in common.
The Burgomeister turns to gaze at you. He nods. It's all he has energy to do is just nod and agree.
Well, I don't think there's any point attributing the smelling of the wood to the disappearing of his legs.
What do you mean?
Clearly there just wasn't enough cedar there.
You ruined his legs and you ruined mine, Christmas.
Shut your goblin mouth!
Hey, no need for that sort of racism.
Don, this isn't cedar. You should have asked me. I'm very good at botanical identification. This is glue and wood chips. Basically what you put in the bottom of a hamster's cage. Oh, wait, that's cedar. This is not that.
But is there a hamster nearby?
Yes, I'm over here. A hamster descends on some, like a rope, like a special forces agent, descends from the whole logs that make up the roof, descends down, has two swords, one on either side of his body and a little hat. I'm a hamster. Ryan's the name. Oh, you guys are big.
Wow, what an interesting hamster.
Cool gear, man.
If you make the Burgomeister to live again, he will destroy the hamster people. That's the whole platform he ran on. You have to choose wisely. Here's why I think you should not bring him back to life. Number one, hamsters can poo anywhere. Let us live. That's it.
Not a great sales pitch, hamster.
But if he dies, won't Shandaria show up? Who's that?
Oh, you've heard of the legend of Shandaria?
Well, we heard mutterings in the town.
Mutterings are all the legend. That's it. There's just mutterings. People say your name and mutter.
No details?
No.
That sounds quite threatening to me.
There was a curse placed upon the legend ages ago by a witch from a river.
What? What was her name?
All the details were erased from the legend and replaced by indistinct muttering noises. To match the murmuring of the lake and river.
I think I know who he's talking about.
Who is it, Ribnik?
My cousin.
Bette Midler.
Yes, my cousin Bette Midler.
A river witch, Bette Midler.
Yes, she's a river witch. They're dirty witches always flowing. You never know what's the same with them.
I once performed across the street from someone who had met Bette Midler.
What play did you perform?
The Merchant?
Merchant. That's
of Venice.
That's a very good play. Much better than just The Merchant.
So we must slay the witch, clarify the mutterings, then talk to the hamster. Suss things out a bit.
Quite a number of tasks to complete in 25 minutes.
25 minutes?
Let's split up. I also would like to eat.
Okay.
Well, I'm sort of a legless goon right now.
You could stay with me.
If I could just ride in this corn sack for a bit, that'd be beneficial. Yes. For me, mostly.
Of course.
So do you guys split up?
Sure, I'll go with Tob and Don. You can stay with Harf over here.
What did you call me?
Harn. Harf.
You're not saying my name right.
Harn. I've never seen it written down.
It's okay, I don't think Tob's saying your name right either.
Yeah. It's Ribnik, right?
Yeah.
Like rib?
Yeah.
Like the party, then yeah. Nick?
Nick, like something you do if you're shaving.
I've been saying Ribnik. I'm sorry. I've just been flummoxed since my legs fell off in that doorway.
I will go find my cousin, Bette Midler. If you two want to suss out whether or not we're aligning with the hamsters or this man with no legs.
All right, we'll make this decision. I guess go to the beach to find Bette Midler.
That's where she is.
Wait, I thought she was a river witch.
Anything
rivers
moving.
Lead to beaches.
Rivers do lead to beaches. I hope we don't run into a coast witch.
The strongest kind. An ocean witch. All right, so you guys split up. Where do you guys go?
Well, I'd like to go to the delicatessen myself.
What do you think?
I agree.
We're hungry.
You gonna go get all right. Sandwiches?
I'll give them one of my headshots and put them on the wall.
Outside of the town hall, as you walk through, the door goes, "Thank you for coming." You immediately spot a delicatessen. It has a wooden sign hanging from a... it's just a log with the word delicatessen carved in it, I guess. And inside the window, you see hung... whole mooses, meese, moose, whatever, whole moose hanging in the windows. It has windows also.
You're so smart, Hoff. What kind of wood is that sign made out of?
That would be a balsam.
Interesting. Moving on.
Thank you for asking. I love identifying plants.
And I love hearing what sort of wood is.
It's amazing we haven't spent more time just the two of us.
I know. I really feel like the other two really clutter up our interactions. Would you like?
They're also ugly, both of them, in different ways.
One of them smells, but the two odors intermingle. The river one doesn't so much stink as the odor is eerily familiar.
The river one?
The river witch.
Oh, the pond witch.
The pond witch. Yes.
So many witches, hard to keep track.
Anyway, look at this delicatessen.
Hello, sir. Can we order some of your most mixed meats?
Mixed meats?
Yes.
Well, I guess I can whip up a couple mixies.
The guy goes into the back. While he's gone... romantic music begins playing through the PA system.
I think the butcher's up to something.
The butcher peeks out from the back door and looks at you two with his hands clasped together in that wonderful, wishy, romantic way.
Go on. Kiss her.
He whispers to Don Christmas.
Don, it's been a long time since I've enjoyed the company of a man.
And it's been a long time since I've enjoyed a mixed meat platter.
Gosh, imagine if we could do both at once.
Oh, the meat intermingling with our intermingling mouths. So many different flavors. Yeah. Moose, boar, tongue.
Ibex.
The most sensual of the meats.
Oh, it'll be like that movie where those two dogs eat spaghetti, only better.
Yes, just like Homeward Bound.
In the back of the delicatessen, you hear the following sound.
Bye-bye, Ibex.
There goes one.
That would be the moose.
Sure. And then this one. Please don't kill me. I'm your son.
Boars.
Boars. A man's name. Yeah, so then the guy comes out. He has a platter. On the platter are an assortment of hunks of different animals. Among them, very clearly, a human arm. Mixed meats. Here they are, mixed all up. Pick 'em.
Don, I'm very good at identifying animals.
I've always admired that about you.
This is a boy's arm.
Well, it would be a pity for it to go to
waste.
Very
hungry,
I'm
though.
Very hungry as well.
Extremely hungry.
I think I should probably eat the boy's arm,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Eat the cursed boy's arm, please.
I'm sorry.
This feels like a bad idea, but I'm so hungry.
Well, before we... I have a follow-up question. Yes. Is it a transferable curse? If I eat the boy's arm, will the curse be transferred onto me? Or is it a standing curse?
Who said anything about a curse? Whoa.
You did.
Oh, did I? What's that? And he points behind you.
That's a
sign on the wall.
Oh, I believe it was balsa wood.
I was hoping you'd look around, and then I guess I'd get away, but I forgot to get away. I just stood there. What a dumb idiot I'm being.
Listen.
Just like my wife used to say before she gave birth to that dumb cursed son.
Wait, so there you said it again.
No, I didn't. You're putting words in my mouth.
I will recreate exactly what you just said.
Okay.
Before she gave birth to that dumb, cursed son. Thank you.
Are you Shakespearean?
I've been known to dabble in the bard's art.
A dabbler? Have you ever been known to babble?
I've babbled in the bard's art as well. I've dabbled and I've babbled.
Oh, that rhyme unlocks your own jaw. Your mouth... Your mouth opens wide, and the boy's arm crawls into your mouth. You can laugh right into the mic. You don't need to hide it.
No! Seems like a bad idea.
You can feel the hand inside grabbing onto your guts and stomach.
Oh, just, my girth!
you immediately begin losing weight.
No!
Oh, so quickly. You're getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner until...
Oh, my scarf looks ridiculous.
You begin crumpling up on the ground like old spaghetti.
Help!
Like the oldest spaghetti in existence. You're in serious trouble. You have only one way out of this.
Envelope open.
Oh, I can't wait to see what it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seriously hoping it's... What does it say?
311 has the answers.
Not 311. 311.
Oh, 311.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the band 311. I had to come original.
Oh, my God. So 311 is a municipal service in Toronto. Put it on speakerphone. You're going to call 311.
Okay.
And when the person asks you how they can help, you're going to have to get them to get you out of this situation.
I've crumpled up like spaghetti.
Yeah. Speakerphone it up and make sure the mic catches it.
Oh, gosh.
Something tells me you're going to be very good at this. Have you ever made a crank call before?
No.
Oh, good.
Oh, first crank call.
First crank call captured here on Crime Stoppers. If you've seen Ian Carmel on stage.
Wait. Non-emergency.
All our calls are recorded. Hello, thank you for phoning 311 Toronto. This is... How can I help you?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing very well, very well. I have kind of a weird question.
Sure.
I went to a delicatessen here in town.
Okay.
And I ate there, and I think I got food poisoning.
Oh, sure, that's a concern. When did this happen?
It happened a couple weeks ago. I don't honestly remember exactly where the delicatessen was. Is there like a place like I could look up delicatessens like per neighbor, like in the neighborhood? Is there like a database that has like delicatessens in a particular neighborhood or something? Like, I know it's a weird question.
I believe that the Toronto Public Health website, you might be able to look up. I think they have an address or a map that shows all of the locations that they do. That they investigate.
Okay. Like, honestly, it wasn't even like, I mean, I was like, I lost like a lot of weight. Like, I was like, I feel like I lost like a lot of weight from the food poisoning. It's almost not even like a complaint type thing. I just want to make sure they know.
Okay. So,
do you ever see that movie Thinner? You know that movie Thinner? It was like that Stephen King book kind of thing.
That's pretty dramatic.
I know. Well, it's not, it wasn't like quite that much, but it was like pretty close to that.
Okay. So I'm going to guide you to this tool. Can you go to toronto.ca?
Toronto.ca. I'm going to write this down because my Wi-Fi, I can't do Wi-Fi and phone.
Do you want me to email you the
link? No, you just tell me really quick.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you go to toronto.ca,
okay.
Please search for this. It says dying, so D-I-N-E.
Dying?
Dying. Dining room, so
okay.
Like dog, I-N-E.
Oh, sorry, I thought I was like dying. I'm like, I hope it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, dying, D-I-N-E.
Okay.
Safe,
S-A-F-E.
Yeah, so dying and then safe.
Okay.
And then you'll get your search results.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
If when I get a hold of it, if it turned out to be like food poisoning or like a curse or something like, or whatever it is, what's like my next step after that? Once
sure.
I've
so if you find when you go to that website, if you do manage to confirm where it was that you got this food, when you find it, there's actually a button right on the website. When you find it, it says submit a complaint about this establishment.
Okay.
So you can submit the complaint right online.
Okay. I have kind of like a tangentially related question. Is that okay? I appreciate so much the help. So like it's over, but it was such like a dramatic way. Is there like a resource I can go to for like new age healers? Like I'm not necessarily a doctor, but I'm like sort of like an Eastern medicine, because it was probably just food poisoning, but if it was a curse or something like that, is there like a resource I can go to for that?
I don't have a resource because we're a government agency. They don't do endorsements or provide any referrals to private practitioners.
Okay.
I wouldn't have a referral for you about that.
I can look it up. I appreciate the help a lot. I really do.
No problem. Was there anything else I could help you with?
No, but I mean, if you stop into a delicatessen and they're serving Ibex, I would recommend you skip it.
Yeah, that's a good heads up. Thank you for letting me know that.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, have a great day. Thank you so much.
You as well, sir. Have a good evening. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
I think he was the same guy.
It was the same guy I had.
It was you guys talked to him before?
Yeah.
Oh,
what did you
she
say?
Oh,
yeah.
Sex butter.
For sex butter. Where she can get an industrial amount of sex
unpasteurized butter for sexual purposes. It was very helpful.
It's so sweet.
And he was like, well, I think if you call the dairy producers of Ontario. Well, thank you. Yes.
The first casual drop of curse was so.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Oh, my God. I love that so much.
Oh,
if it's
okay.
A food poisoning or a curse.
What happens to doctors?
I think that's a success. You
visited toronto.ca.
Yeah. As a pile of like human spaghetti on the ground, you quickly pull out your iPhone and you visit toronto.ca. They give you the phone number for the health bureau.
Dine safe.
And dine safe. You check out this delicatessen. It turns out it's under investigation already for numerous previous curse complaints.
That's not surprising.
And then the health services appear right then, because yours is the straw that broke the camel's back. and they come racing in. They immediately inflate you back to normal size by shoving meat, fresh, better meat into you.
Or then they take a look over here and they're like, all that Ibex.
Who is this hot adventuress?
My name's Harf.
Oh, never mind. And they take off. Meanwhile, what are you guys up to?
How old is his headshot? Because I feel like he hasn't had that haircut for at least 4 years.
I agree.
And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that I'm judging him for that, but
no.
I'm saying that if he's going to be cross with us, then, you know, right. I've got ammunition.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's so obsessed with vanity, he could at least be honest with himself.
You see,
yeah.
My teeth, they're hideous. They look like upside-down pine trees.
Hey, I mean, sure, they're hideous, but, you know, you got a load of qualities.
Thank you. You do, too, despite your thick calves that are gone.
I didn't see anybody else volunteer to carry me in this burlap bag when my legs fell off.
We're at
you
the
know
beach.
What I mean?
Now, Tom, I have to tell you something. As you all know from me explaining endlessly,
yes.
I'm not good with the running water.
I know. And I just want to be here and be your rock. Because, frankly, I can understand the turmoil.
You hear the babbling sound of a brook nearby and the cackling sound of Bette Midler singing Wind Beneath My Wings.
Oh, God damn it.
They are the wind beneath my wings.
That's her, certainly.
No. So, Ribnik, I'm assuming she's your nemesis?
I guess so. Well, on a cousin level. Just walk over and perhaps things will be fine. Now, I am growing weaker. Very weak.
That's
I'm just
okay.
Going to drag you behind me.
Well, I'm not exactly.
I feel my cousin nearby. Who's that? Which one of my cousins is it?
It's me, Ribnik.
Oh, Ribnik, is it? Well, you won't find any still waters over here. Just glorious stage presence.
Yes, you look very good. Now listen. We've come from Crandor.
Oh, how's that place?
It's fine. It's the solstice.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is. They do a beautiful
festival.
They do a beautiful festival.
The women with their feathers in their hair.
Yes, to avoid the abuse. Now, we hear a lot of general whisperings about things.
Murmurs.
Murmurs and mutters, bit.
Sounds like my work.
Have you been doing this? The way she murmurs through a note.
It's so effortless.
Bette Midler's effortless murmuring. How did she do it? What a genius.
We sort of popped by to just see if maybe you could ease up on that a bit.
Immediately, water rushes out of the brook as she waves her let's say sizable matronly arms. And water pours out over the land and encircles the Stillwater Witch, Ribnik.
Ribnik.
I don't have to do nothing for no one.
The water wraps around you like a shroud, and it covers your whole body except your face like a sleeping bag.
Oh, Ribnik.
Maybe if I just sleep a little bit.
Ribnik.
Yes,
it
that's
begins
what I
going up
do.
Your nose and making you sneeze.
Oh, weird. Ribnik, no. Hang on.
Having never sneezed before in your life, you find out that this is one of your greatest weaknesses. You sneeze a piece of your brain out.
Oh, what's that? What is that?
Oh, it's
what
for
is
sure
that?
Your brain.
Oh, no.
Oh, Ribnik.
Put it back in.
No, you don't want my fingers in your nose.
No, I don't want my fingers in my nose. Bet. Please stop, I'm your cousin. Don't you remember the summers we had?
You sneeze again, and a huge piece of your brain shoots out. I just burped right into the mic. Sorry to interrupt, but I can't edit that burp out. Continue.
Look at this one. Sizable.
Oh, Ribnik, that's it. Take a chunk of your frontal lobe.
That is the part that, because it didn't work, prevented you from socializing properly. Having lost it, you will never socialize properly.
Grimnik.
No.
Hey.
You sneeze again, and your one kidney comes out.
Two.
Oh, God. All right, Midler. You pile of garbage.
Why won't you use your gun? You're doomed.
Well, she lost part of her brain. It's hard to think.
I'll use this.
Envelope open.
I'm just so hoping it's a particular one.
Mind link.
Oh, this is brand new to this episode. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Mind Link. In Mind Link, one player is given a sheet of questions and the other player is given a sheet of corresponding answers. Both of them listen to music in their earphones so that they cannot hear one another speak. When one player asks a question, the other player must answer the question without knowing what it is. If the question and answer match, they have successfully completed a Mind Link. Four Mind Links are necessary to survive. Okay, can you hear me, Kyle? Can you hear me, Kayla? Kayla? Can you hear me?
Wait. I can't hear it.
Can you hear me?
No, I can't.
Okay, so...
Ready.
Yeah, get ready.
I read it out loud?
Yeah, but he's got questions.
What do you say if you get shot?
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
What does Jack Nicholson say to Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men?
Molly, you in danger, girl.
What did Whoopi Goldberg say to Demi Moore in Ghost?
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
How does James Bond introduce himself?
My friend, you have diarrhea.
How did Mr. Rogers' song start?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
When people meet for the first time, what do they say?
Season's greetings.
What's a politically correct thing to say instead of Merry Christmas?
I need an ambulance right now. I've been shot.
What's a famous line from the movie Network?
Supersize me.
What do you say to get a larger fries and drink at McDonald's?
I'm Bond, James Bond.
What would you tell the doc? What would the doctor tell you if your symptoms were a loose, runny stool?
Pleased to meet you.
That's all the questions.
Oh, you've been through them all? You can keep... you. All right, that's 30 seconds. Yeah. You only got one.
Which one did we get?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
What's Mr. Rogers' song? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Okay, you
failed
big time. Yeah. You start sneezing uncontrollably. First you sneeze out your lungs. Without lungs to use to sneeze, your body just starts squeezing itself to squeeze more stuff out, like messed up toothpaste. You become nothing but a wet gut soup on the ground.
Oh, no.
And yet don't die. So you're nothing but guts covered in water on the shore as Bette Midler dances around, draping herself in your intestines like a beautiful necklace. She starts showing it off for her goblin cobbler.
Midler, you whore.
Don't I look attractive?
You're disgusting, Midler. I know what's inside. I have two attributes remaining now that my legs have been ruined. My charm and my goblin strength. How would you like to be disposed, Midler? Torn limb from limb or charmed until you kind of leave us alone?
I have a third option.
I'm listening, Midler.
How about you die now? And the water starts surrounding you.
See, Midler, this is actually an advantage. Given my lack of legs, I can propel myself quite handily with my arms. Go on, Midler. And frankly, this water is serving quite well to get rid of my stench. Hey, Midler. Guess what? I'm gonna punch you in the fucking face.
Bette Midler here. Yeah, roll. Why not?
All right, yeah. We'll see if I've punched her in the face.
In the
classic
fucking
goblin
face.
Tactic.
Because she has a fucking face and a
oh,
other
one.
Face. Oh,
no.
Oh, that's a. Oh, I rolled a 1-2.
What does that mean?
Well, because it's a tie and sucks, that means partial success, partial failure.
Okay.
You successfully punch Bette Midler, but not in the face.
All
right. Your fist goes right up her asshole, deep inside into her guts. Where you feel the equivalent parts that she's wearing on her body as decoration.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that, you got a lot going on in there, don't you?
Amazing.
I've never been inside
a lady?
Anybody, really. Oh, geez.
Are you a virgin?
Oh, don't do this to me.
Am I taking your virginity right now?
I guess technically. Is this what sex is? Oh, I've outed myself.
As far
as
I know, yes, this is the only way I've ever done it. I had 2 kids this way.
Oh, Christ, Bet. You're breaking all the rules.
This is Michigas right here. This is nonsense.
Look, Bet. Clarify the mutters and give me a nice waterproof bag to take my friend with. And I'll remove my hand from your ass.
Bette Midler relents, consents, removes the curse, and all of the murmurs in Sharandria's curse become actual sentences. You can't hear them until you get back to town, though. You get a waterproof bag and scoop up the guts, which are alive still. The skin, the skeleton, all separated. The eyes and mouth, however, form one little face that's on top of the heap, still capable of conversing.
Let's roll, Ribnik.
Very good.
I nicked Bette Midler's bladder. Used it as a bag to hold you.
Thank you.
She's oddly comfortable with it.
I nicked Bette Midler's bladder. Thank you.
It is I who will be carried now. Now back to Crandor.
Yes, Crandor.
Meanwhile, back in Crandor, the two of you have been taking statements with the, whatever, the health department has been taking your statements this whole time. In walks,
We're pretty sure it's a curse. It's not just food poisoning. This is some sort of curse.
I've had food poisoning before.
This is a curse.
I still have to go through and tick all the boxes. So,
right.
What'd you eat?
Child's arm!
And I had some Ibex.
And when you ate the child's arm, were you already feeling sick beforehand, or how long did it take for
you to
feel
sick? I felt wonderful. I felt longing, but I didn't feel sick.
And this longing, was it sated by the ingestion of the arm, or...?
No. I long only for the stage.
Really?
Yes.
I've been trying to get some of the guys in the office together to put a little production of Merchant of Venice, but we can't find a really good Shylock.
Well,
it's the only character I know from Merchant of Venice.
If only someone here were capable of playing every role in Merchant of Venice. It's too bad that there's no one here. Oh, is there someone here? There is someone here who can do that! It is I, Dawn Christmas!
Are you by any chance the brother of Irving Christmas?
You shut your mouth.
Irving Christmas, he's my manager.
Dawn, keep it together.
What a funny coincidence.
This is so weird. Let me text him.
Why don't you not text him? Don't
Irving met your brother Don.
Don?
Just as described.
Just breathe, Don.
Tell him how girthy I look. Don't tell him I lost all that weight before rapidly putting it back on.
He says...
Do you have emojis on your phone?
He says he's... Yeah, I have 4 emojis.
Okay.
Brown, red, smile, and scream.
Send brown.
Brown sent. What's this? He's coming? What's this? He's right outside right now?
Oh, no! He's such a fast texter.
A knock comes on the door. Irving Christmas barges in. He looks exactly like Don Christmas, but he has long white eyebrows covering his face. They're sort of like Snuffleupagus's eyebrows, but much, much longer. He says, quickly, there's no time. We can deal with our brother issues later. To the Burgomeister's Hall. Did you know that I have a key? I can go come and go to the Burgomeister's Hall whenever I feel like.
Yes, Irving. You won't stop talking about it at Christmas.
Well, it's just that at Beaverton, you know, I was never given any keys, and
when
now
you say...
that I'm...
Well, in Beaverton, I was given a too small sweater.
Shit shirt? Shit size shirt?
A too small shit shirt.
What? It was too small?
Two sizes too small.
No.
Yes.
I didn't do that on purpose. Did you know that?
No, I...
Well, our, looks like our fences are mended.
Completely. Put your eyebrow in my mouth like the old days when we were children.
His eyebrows sway towards you like an energy wave and get inside your mouth and tickle the old ivories.
Your music. Wow, that's very impressive, you two.
Yes, we learned this at Shakespeare camp.
What, you perform Shakespeare as well?
Oh, I'm not as good as this guy.
All I can,
do is play Portia. She's in Merchant of Venice,
right? Is she?
Right? Yeah, Portia's at his daughter.
She's one of them.
Or is Jessica one? Is it Jessica?
I don't think there's a Jessica in Shakespeare.
Stephanie.
Stephanie, I can play Melody.
Madison.
Melanie, Madison.
Ashley.
Gavin.
The Ashley, the Gavin of Venice. Remember when we wrote that? Oh, we were so young.
We were so young.
And we're older now.
By 6 years. So he drags the two of you over to the Burgomeister's Hall. There the Burgomeister lays, his legs gone, his torso gone, his neck beginning to fade, basically a head, and separate from the head, two arms lay also on the table. One of them almost rolls off, and one of the guys with the beards just sort of puts it back on. He's like, that's just keep that on the table. And, then, and there's a mouse sort of pacing around the rest of the table with his two swords, just being like,
a mouse?
One of these guys, or a hamster. One of these guys going to get back. Time's running out. When is gonna get back?
Wait, I've seen this before. In the woods. Does anyone here know how to play an electric guitar and sing Johnny Be Good? It's the only way to...
We all do! It's solstice. These powers are unlocked for 24 hours.
Well, it's the only way to take someone who's fading away and make them real.
Somebody opens up a cabinet that's full of strats. And just hand out all these cherry red strats to everybody.
Can I get a telly?
Do you have a telly for my friend Ribnik?
Yes, I have an oak telly. This is from the ancient times when they could cut wood.
Oh, Ribnik, Tarb, good to see you guys again.
Oh, you're all together again.
Yeah, we went on a quest. Frankly, I can't even remember what for.
Well, people are murmuring a lot less around here, so you must have succeeded.
A townsperson bursts in and says, Have you heard the legend of Charandria?
Oh, so for it.
So clear to hear.
If the bruise makes the Burgomeister's body disappear and the hamster shows his face before all is clear, then Charandria will give everyone a beer.
The
triple rhyme. The floor opens up, revealing that all of Crandor is actually situated in the sky. Nothing but clouds beneath you.
How did we get up here?
Wow.
Oh,
you have opened
cool.
The final door. Now play me the Chuck Berry hits that I, Skylord, on whom Crandor sits like a hat, desire.
Well, I guess we could sing then.
Way down Louisiana, let's get started. 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, okay.
Way down Louisiana, close to New Orleans. Way back up in the woods among the evergreens. Come on, there's still a log cabin made of earth and wood. Where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good. Who never ever learned to read or write so well.
He could play a guitar just like a ringing a bell. Go, go!
Go!
Go, Johnny, go, go!
Go!
Go, Johnny, go, go!
Go!
Go, Johnny, go, go!
Johnny, be
and a massive energetic orgasm comes out, so large from this guy, Lord. Sperm the size of birds soar around the room, sort of like ghosts from Japanese culture, no less bodies, swimming around. Thank you for freeing the seed of the Sky Lord. We have longed to mate with the earth and create a new bounteous realm where Shakespeare can be once again performed and wood can be cut, boards trod.
I'm speechless for the first time in my life. I'm flustered.
We've been watching you for some time from within the genitals of the Sky Lord, which have tube TVs, which we can use to see into the distance. Would you please enter our Shakespearean parallel dimension over which you will reign supreme in productions of Merchant of Venice?
Well, not too experienced with that play, but yes, I'll give it a shot. Irving.
Yeah?
For old time's sake, put one of your eyebrows in my mouth. One last time.
His eyebrows wiggle in like a wave, tears streaming through them into your mouth. As he deposits waves of tears, he's so sad to leave you, to see you go. Hath not a Jew eyes. If you prick us, do we not get so sad that you're leaving us? Those are the only lines I know from Merchant of Venice. Pound of flesh. $60. Loan me $60. That's what it's about. Dude, spot me $60. I need to put a down payment on a telly.
Oh, Irving, I'll miss you. And your salty, salty eyebrows. Oh, the saltiest eyebrows. But I have a higher calling. Performing Shakespeare in this new genital-formed world.
It suits you. What are there three of you guys, other guys? You're just a load of shit. So one of the sperms flies around and penetrates into Bette Midler's bladder, which becomes a new suit of skin for you. As you slowly coalesce back into a normal being, you notice that you're exactly the same, restored as you once were to all your glory, but your fingers are gorgeous. The fingers of a 17-year-old virgin.
Wow! Look at these! Taste it! One for you.
Ooh, it tastes good.
One for you.
Oh, yes, please.
Fresh, new.
Oh, the things I could touch with this. What a blessing the sperm was in me.
You're also pregnant. One of the sperms collides with the hamster. The hamster shakes and says, "Why did I spend years fighting against this fucking Midler and her murmur curse?" The hamster grows to titanic proportions. Scents of different woods emanating from it, covered in different, very complicated looking plants that no one else in the room can identify. It bellows like a moose, ibex, cow, and lion
Arbutus,
simultaneously
Douglas
as
fir.
Different kinds of meats hang from it and break off on their own as it produces meat. I shall be yours forever.
What a dreamy heap of crap. Is that a dendrobium coming out of your head?
Good. I
smell like zebra wood.
Oh, she's truly up to snuff. A steak plops off, ready cooked, right into your mouth.
Yum. I'm sorry, Don. I know we flirted before, but this is what love tastes and smells like.
Well, you clearly haven't tasted Irving's eyebrows.
One of Irving's eyebrows just quickly graces your lips.
Good, but this meat that fell off of the big hamster beast was better.
Well, to each their own, I respect you as a person.
A whale fin shoots into your mouth. And last but not least, the two legs, finally having been unused, atrophied outside the door, thin enough now to enter. They hop over. They hop over to you one by one, both very coyly looking at you. They sort of rub their feet together a little bit shyly and wonder, do you still like us?
Still like you? I love you. Get over here, my legs.
The legs fall down in front of you so that you can stroke and rub them to your heart's content.
This is better. Now, to go for the ultimate jump through the sky door.
The legs reattach themselves to your hips. They fit better than they used to.
I'll see you guys on the other side, or wherever I land.
Roll.
Bye. Well, yeah, I need to roll.
One! I rolled four ones. Oh, four ones is the magic number of ones, turning that one into a 10. You jump so successfully that your hair just brushes the rafters. What a leap. And then you're dead center over the sky door. Straight down you go. The whole way, sperm swimming around you in the sky. The Sky Lord hidden through the clouds as you penetrate and plummet through the clouds. Finally, you're under the cloud cover and you see the true form of the Sky Lord. It is a beautiful, beautiful woman, blind with no sense of smell.
Hey, you want a smooch?
Desperately. More than anything.
All right.
The Sky Lord kisses you and says, I've fallen in love with you immediately. It's that simple. Let's get, let's adopt immediately. There are children in parts of the world who need parents.
I can be just that, a father and a role model. Let's do it, Sky Lord.
Tons of disadvantaged children, orphans from wars, start popping up out of the Sky Lord's special door where children come from. Your family laughs and hugs. Love fills the air. All of you guys should be pretty pleased at how this turned out.
Wow,
unfortunately, check how many retweets you guys got.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-oh. I didn't tweet.
Oh, well then, it's safe to say you die.
Oh, of course.
I got one favorite.
Favorites don't count.
I got two retweets.
Hold on. I gotta turn my phone on.
Oh, yeah. That's
too polite.
Was it losing battery?
No, I just wanted to impress you. with my politeness. Oh.
Well, you are in the right country. For politeness.
Gavin Crawford kindly retweeted this.
Oh, good.
That's nice. Great. Becky got two.
You got zero.
I got zero.
I got zero too.
Kyle D got zero.
Yeah, I didn't tweet. I should have tweeted. What was I thinking?
You fell in love. How can this not be the end?
I
got 15 retweets.
Oh, amazing.
Wow. Oh, wait, 28 retweets.
How dare you? How dare you?
Oh, you guys. Okay, unfortunately, your body shrinks back to bladder size. Okay. Your bones are crushed and you're miserable. Your beautiful fingers run off to have sex with themselves somewhere else. And the baby classic you were going to give birth to, it doesn't make it. Kyle's relationship with the Sky Lord turns into a really passive-aggressive, dull, abusive relationship.
Oh,
the many
no.
kids growing up in this environment never talk to you as elderly people, and you end up living alone in a home.
That's pretty goblin-like. I was trying to off retirement myself home? Earlier, so this is pretty good.
And the meat you've been eating is not actually meat, it turns out. It's actually a genetically engineered being that produces a meat-like protein-similar substitute, and that the long plastic chains which make up the meat-like stuff clog your intestines and give you a systemic bum failure. All the dumps you would have to take now go in. You have to sit down on pre-dumped dumps so that they go into your body.
I'm going to go live in the woods. I mean, no one should see this.
Oh, unfortunately, God. If you try to do that, there will be no dumps for you to sit on. You have to sit on human dumps. So you have to live in an outhouse underneath the chair.
Just doing a handstand?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
Well, and, what a life.
Don Crispus, you rule over Shakespearea, the new dimension, where everyone sees you perform the bard's masterpieces night after night. Some of his masterpieces that were lost have been rediscovered, and you are the first and only performer to master them. You also become immortal. You get all the money you need. Lots of student debts knocked out. great cell phone plan. You just get reception wherever you go.
Look great. Scarves.
Great number of scarves. And you lose all your weaknesses.
Toblerone never came up.
Oh, you get a Toblerone and you find out it wasn't a weakness at all. It was just a delicious thing that you didn't know what it was.
I had no idea. I assumed it was like something like a disease. Yeah. Like a mean ghost.
I dare not. Anyway, congratulations, everyone. Thank you very much for participating in Party of Four. The only party for four.
Oh, yeah.
My guests once again have been Ian Carmel, Becky Johnson, Kyle Dooley, and Carla Ipswich. What did I say? Kayla Esposito? I don't know. Ranowski was Carla Ranowski. Kayla Lorette. Check them all out on Twitter. Follow them all on Twitter. Follow their careers. Bye, everyone.